Greetings to you all, in Jesus' name this morning. It's what a rich morning already. That children's lesson wasn't just for the children, was it? Do habits become our character? I think they can. I just want to remind the children that those stickers that you put on, maybe you forgot, but aren't those the stickers that give someone a door? Some paint? Maybe a window? That was the equivalent of some doors and windows there, and those things are expensive. So when there's a flood that comes across a town or something, and a house gets maybe destroyed or somewhat destroyed, or people have to fix it, you help pay for that. And may God bless you for that. I just had to ponder what Brother Andy was sharing this morning too. I had to think of that verse there in Psalms. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Well, in the beginning here, I want to take our minds to our Heavenly Father in worship. Full of glory, full of wonders, majesty divine, mid thine everlasting thunders, how thy lightnings shine. Shoreless ocean, who shall sound thee? Thine own eternity surrounds thee, majesty divine. Timeless, spaceless, single, lonely, yet sublimely three, thou art grandly, always only, God in unity. Lone in grandeur, lone in glory, who shall tell thy wondrous story? Awful Trinity. It's not the God that the universe encompasses, but it's the God that encompasses the universe. Thine own eternity surrounds thee, majesty divine. And in him is life, and apart from him is no life. He, God, inhabits eternity, and his name is holy. As we think of these thoughts of God this morning, I think this is how we want to enter in this message, these few thoughts that I have. Because the words that we're going to be reading are in red in my Bible. Not just because they're red, but the God of life is the one who spoke them to us. So let's pray. Father, we come to you as you are the most sovereign, all-sufficient, omniscient one who has created all things by a spoken word, and created man in your own image, in your likeness, created you them. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here in our presence this morning. We ask that you would have your own way in our thoughts and minds. Father, and may our hearts and attitudes be turned towards you. May they be toward heaven. As your word says, think on things above and not on things of this earth. Father, we know that these things on this earth, they are dim and they're empty. They have no lasting joy. But Father, as we come to you this morning, we lay all those things at your feet again, Father, that you may impart into us life, divine life. We with your divine presence, God, from your divine word as we partake of it this morning. Father, we pray for spiritual direction and guidance in what to say. We pray for understanding of the scripture there this morning. Father, we pray for openness of heart and mind, for God to work in and through to manifest His glory and draw your people to yourself. Father, we pray for those things this morning. May you have your own way in this service as you have been already. We commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be reading from there. We'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 8, then jumping down and getting three verses from 16 to 18. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Jumping down to 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And for the purpose of the message is the reason I jumped over his prayer there, or the manner of praying. That's the whole message in itself, and actually these could be one in itself too, for that matter. But as we think of the place of this of Jesus speaking these verses, we have to back up to first part of Matthew 5, where he's on the mountainside and his disciples are set there before him and he's teaching them in that way. There he is sitting on the mountainside and he's teaching them some beautiful things here. We have the Beatitudes there and we have the Sermon on the Mount there, and this is in the middle, kind of in the middle here. And you may ask, why did I choose these? Well, I don't know, other than the Lord laid these few verses on my heart. Now, there's a commonality here in these three different portions of Scripture, these three topics, we could call them. And some would term them as the three great Christian duties. Some would call them the three foundations of the law. The Arabians would term them that. But nevertheless, there are three very key elements in a Christian life. And first, we want to look at these three things that Jesus is addressing here in this portion of Scripture. First one being verses 1 through 4 about almsgiving. What is almsgiving? What is alms? It's relieving in a compassionate way the poor of money by food or clothing, or simply a compassionate exercise towards the poor. Some term it acts of righteousness or alms of righteousness. Sometimes we think of alms, we think of in terms of money. You give an in, maybe a tithe. But alms is more than just money. It could be given to relieve the poor in various forms. And it can include money. Let me read some verses here concerning this. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of hand to do it. Psalm 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not, again, but the righteous show mercy and giveth. Psalm 41:1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels with compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Luke 12:33, sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that filleth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. We'll have one more here. In Luke 19, concerning Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. Now we see here in this last verse that I read here, that when there was a person that came in contact with God, automatically he wanted to help the poor. And I just think that's how it is. Okay, go on to the next one. Prayer. Prayer is a work. It can be confessing sin. It can come out as communion with addressing the Supreme Being in worship. Intercession. Supplication or request. Expression of gratitude to God for His blessings, forgiveness, mercy, grace, etc. Or it may consist of a single petition. And the key word that I believe that comes in this is earnestness. Also, agreeing with God in a situation. Sometimes we make prayer out to be some things that it's not. And maybe it can be just as simple as agreeing with God. We pray for the will of God, and how are we going to know His will more closely except if we know Him and spend intimate time with the God and His Word? And sometimes we come as beggars to a king, as to a king. Asking, begging. I want to back up here. I have some quotes here, back to almsgiving, that I think would fit in right here where we are at. I took them out of the early Christian writings. They are back in the 400s and under, even back in the 80s to 100 AD. Here's one concerning almsgiving. If one having need receives alms, he is without guilt. However, if someone receives alms who does not have need, he will pay the penalty. He will be examined concerning the things that he has done, and he shall not escape from there until he has paid back the very last coin. And let your alms sweat in your hands until you know to whom you should give them to. That was one. Here's another one. This is the chief and truest advantage of riches. Not to use wealth for the particular pleasure of an individual, but for the welfare of many. It is not for one's own immediate enjoyment, but for justice, which alone does not perish. Here's another one. If anyone is in need because of gluttony, drunkenness, or idleness, he does not deserve any assistance. That comes from the Apostolic Constitutions, compiled in the 4th century. And you read through that, and there's many that say to this end, that if you go visit a house, whether a brother is ailing or whether a sister is ailing and not well, or you just go for encouragement, he says, it states that don't go just with words. I mean, sure, God bless you and have a good day, be on your way, and Christ will fill you with, you know, good things. But, you know, words are good, but go take them something. Go take them something to help their situation. And it's as practical as maybe taking a loaf of bread. You know, give them some food or something that helps them along. You know, words help too, but that's what they would have said. That's what the early Christian writers would have said is, you know, how dwells the love of God if all you take is words? Which words can be a blessing and encouragement? Okay, let's jump down to fastings from out of 16 to 18 there. Let's read a verse out of Psalms. Okay, what is fasting? To abstain from food for a time or to omit usual meals for a time. Abstinence of food, as a whole, food and drink. Says when a soul is deeply grieved or in sorrow, and I'm sure most of us have experienced that, where there's something that just grieves us or that we're just burdened by, the appetite of food just kind of leaves us. We just don't feel hungry anymore. And I'm sure a lot of us have experienced that. When there's a burden upon your heart, truly, that, you know, the appetite of food is just going to leave you. Psalm 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Let's read Isaiah 58 from 6 to 6 and 7. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? The thought there in Isaiah where it says not to... is to deal the bread to the hungry. If you're going to be dealing your bread to the hungry, you're going to be without. And that's the whole idea. The fasting, you're in some aspects of it. It is also used to humble us, to direct our thoughts away from the allurements of the world and to God, or the situation that is burdening us. This is on the subject also of discipline, causing your body with all its appetites to be in subjection. And here's a few quotes out of early Christian writings again. I was just intrigued by them. If you have a book, go read through them. It's quite revealing, quite interesting, to say the least. Here's one. Every prayer should be accompanied with humility. Fast, therefore, and you will obtain from the Lord what you plead for. Here's another one. At fast, moreover, and stations, no prayer should be made without kneeling and the other customary marks of humility. For we are not only praying, but pleading. That's from Tertullian. It is the customary practice for the bishops to issue mandates for fasts to the universal commonality of the church. I do not mean fasts for the special purpose of collecting contributions of alms, as your beggarly fashions has it. Rather, I am referring to fasts sometimes enacted because of some particular cause of ecclesiastical concern. So it was common for them to make a mandate of fast for the universal commonality of the church, for all to be partakers of that. And we've done that here as a church, and it's a blessing. Okay, we're going to go on to the next thing here. We want to talk about what I termed as to do or not to do in this portion of Scripture. Now we're going to go through the to-dos first and the rewards of it. On almsgiving, it states there in verse 3. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Okay, that's what it says. When thou doest alms, this is what you do. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand doeth. Well, what does that mean? How do you not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? I mean, they're pretty close proximity. And I think we could say that, number one, people that are really close to you, your relatives, they don't need to know. We'll get to this a little bit later. This is on the opposite side of what Brother Andy said, but we'll get to that a little bit later on the secrecy. Because it says here, thy father which seeth in secret, it's calling us to do these things in secret. Brother Andy says, and the Word of God says, that regard not iniquity in your heart. Don't have that secret thing in your secret sin in your heart. Now, this is two different things here. I want to we'll get to that a little bit later here. So, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Okay? So, it could mean your relatives, the ones that are close to you. Maybe, whoever that might be. You and your wife are probably going to be in one in the things that you're doing as far as giving and such and helping out, and maybe even your family. There's some of these things that you just won't be able to hide from people. Okay? The other thought I have here is we have two members here of the same body. Of this body. So the left hand, the right hand. When you give, when you help someone out, don't dwell on that. Don't dwell on that thought. Don't say, ooh, wow, I'm a pretty good guy. I helped this poor brother out. I helped over here, and start counting the things that you've done, and I'm a pretty good guy. I've done a lot of good things. Don't give, forget it. Let the Lord take care of what needs to be taken care of. Do what is asked of us. When we do what was asked of us and keep on walking, faithfully, that's what He calls us to do. And I believe that could fit in right here. Don't let your left hand know. Don't dwell on those practices. They are given to God. Keep them there. Okay, on prayer, He tells us in verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Okay? So we go to our bedroom, we have a closet in there, so we go in the closet, we shut the door, and pray. And I don't know if any of you have ever done that. I've done that, and it gets pretty quiet in there, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Is that what it means? Not necessarily. What it's saying is find a place where there's no distraction. There's no distraction. There's nobody's there to Basically, it's saying that shut yourself from everything else, from the world, from business, from everything else, and have that personal quiet time with God. Find your place where maybe it is in the closet for you. Maybe it's in the closet for us. So be it. Maybe that's the place where you can get away from everything and spend some intimate time with God. Maybe that's where it's at. But find a place, please. This is what it's telling us. Do this. To do. In prayer, speaks of shutting the door on the world, going to a place of no distraction, and not amusing ourselves with any other thing, totally mindless of any other thing, so as to have a real heart-to-heart with someone closer than a friend. You have your wife. You know, we have our wives, friend with friend. You have some close friendships. Trust, we all do. And when you have a heart-to-heart, when you really want to have a heart-to-heart, there's no distractions. There's nobody else involved. You're there by yourself, apart, somewhere else. There's no one in the middle. There's no one else involved. It's just the two of you. Seclude yourself from anyone else or anything else. This can be done even in a group meeting, I believe. This is one time I think you can be a little narrow-minded. You and God. Just you and God. Circle place, just you and God. Intimacy, friendship, communion. Okay, let's jump down to verse 17 on fast. He tells us he has some word to say to us about this too. He says, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Have the same look or appearance as you have any other day. Maybe fasting affects you differently. Maybe you get pale and weak. Your body, your physical body just gets down because of your lack of food, lack of nutrition. Wash your face. Maybe you have to wash your face so you get that flushed, healthy, pink look again. So you don't, you know, do things that will make others not see that you're fasting. Whatever that might be. This is what it's telling us here, I believe. Whatever you do, you should make so other people don't know you're fasting. And here it was, for them it was. And we could go into more depth of and the whole Jewish thing and how they all did those things. I don't feel like I need to go there this morning. So the rewards of the to-dos, God will take care of that. When we leave it in God's hand, I believe we can say that you'll receive eternal rewards. But please, don't let that be our focus. Don't let the reward be the focus of doing and giving and all those things. I had to think of was in a Bible study one time, and maybe I share it with you all, some of you, but the conversation was kind of in this line of doing and giving good deeds and that type of thing. I think some of you may have even been there at that time. But it went down the line of when you help an old lady out across the street, you're adding another two before on your mansion in glory. And it was just like, really? I mean, is that the motive? That we get another two before in our mansion in glory? We get a bigger mansion. We get a bigger house. We get something better. I mean, the focus wasn't on God. The focus wasn't on Jesus Christ, the seeing our Savior and our Lord. It was on physical things again. God's rewards are in His own timing, and they may not come as we think they might. Nevertheless, there will be a reward, because your Father, which knoweth these things, He shall reward thee openly. Now, we don't know all that. We don't know how that all works out sometimes. But I had to think when we walk with God, what greater reward is when we have a peace at heart There's another place, another thing. I don't call it a thing. There's no other way that we can get peace at heart instead of walking with God and do these things that He requires of us. Not to do. We'll look at a few not to do's here, going through the same pattern. Look at what Jesus taught us not to do. In verse 2, speaking of alms, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. And it could be in any public assembly or group of people. Now here I find a need just to define a hypocrite, because it talks about a hypocrite in all three passages. In the Greek, we have simply an actor or stage player, somebody that acts like somebody he's not, which is basically what that is. One who feigns who he is not. One who has the form of godliness but without power. One who assumes an appearance of piety and virtue when he is destitute of true religion. One who assumes a false appearance, dissembling, concealing one's real motives is also in this heading of a hypocrite. It's a subtle sin. This thing is a subtle sin. Our pride, the pride of our heart, it just wants to manifest itself up in so many different ways. And it stinks before God. Okay, the thought in this verse may be that they use the trumpet to call the poor people in, to give them. But the real motive was to let everyone know of their liberal giving. Then what happens? Wow! Did you see that? They gave a lot of money. Wow! Look at all the money they just give away. And so me, the clap and the ahs and the oohs. This puts on an appearance of piety when in reality it just stinks before God. Verse 5 and verse 7 in the under the heading of prayer. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners, in the street corners. They love. It's what they love to do. To pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets. This seemingly was proofs of great piety, public prayer, where there were the most people around, preferably. So people see the eloquent prayers. Muslims do this. They have their designated places in some airports. A lot of you all have seen them. Word has that some Roman Catholics do this too. Public prayer. Is public prayer wrong? The thing is, they prayed in public, but that was it. No life of secret prayer, no real connection with God. In verse 7 we have, but when you pray, use not, here's another not to do. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. As the heathen do, simply means the Gentiles or unbeliever. Vain repetitions, I have to think of that Buddhist, I think it's the Buddhist, they have a wheels where they come up there and they have them at the marketplaces and they turn them. And they have marks on there all the way around the wheel and everything that click, 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 click goes through that mark. In their mind, they're saying the prayer. So the oftener they do that, the more prayers they're offering. And every time I read that verse, I think of that. Vain repetitions, just repeating. If we continuously have a prayer, it doesn't matter how eloquent it is. If we don't really mean what we are saying, or if it really doesn't come from the heart, vain repetitions. Words without a heart, the Lord will never hear, nor will He to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere. I believe, brothers and sisters, it can be as simple as that. Vain repetitions. They are vain petitions, and we might as well not expect an answer from God. Verse 16, under the heading of fasting, what not to do. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Sad countenance. They disfigure their faces, that they appear unto men to fast. Sad countenance. Their sullen, gloomy, mournful appearance. Is that how we are when we fast? We make sure that people know that we're fasting. We just, you know, just the sap is just kind of drained out of us, and we're just kind of sitting around and sluggish, and maybe it affects us different ways. I don't want to discount that. But here again, it says us what not to do. Whatever and however they were doing things, they appeared unto men to fast. It says, don't do this. This is not pleasing to God. Their rewards for these things, they have their reward. The glory and praise of men. That's what they wanted. That's what they received. Nothing more. That's it. So it will be with us. That is as deep as it went. No relationship with God. For He was not in the picture. They received what they were going to receive, and it was done. That sounds pretty empty, doesn't it? May we not get caught in doing these things. We'll get a reward, but it'll be temporal. It'll be earthly. It'll be praise of God, or praise of man, a glory of man. But that'll be it. Now, this last section I want to try to bring to us this morning would be under the heading of right intentions / pure motives / secret life. These things are a challenge to my own heart. Maybe I'm the only one, but I believe it's the nature of man when we get into this subject. At the beginning of the chapter, it gives us a warning. It says, take heed. Be careful. Move cautiously. Hold to mind. Pay attention to. That you don't do these things before men to be seen of them. Lest I forget, I want to bring faith in this equation here this morning. How much faith does it take to please men?
We would say none.
We know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It takes faith to please God. So if and when we do, may it be by faith, not doubting. When we're involved in these works, whether it's almsgiving, whether it's prayer, whether it's fasting, may we do it in faith. Whatsoever we do, may it be done by faith. Faith doesn't always see physically. Blessed are those that don't see, yet believe. Another thing that Jesus keeps telling us about is secrecy. I believe the Christian life is one aspect, and one aspect is a secret life. And these three topics, are they not focused on God and others and not myself? And in this secret life, even so that the left hand don't know what the right hand doeth? And we ourselves don't think or meditate how much good we have done or how much time we spend in prayer or fasting. You know, a true servant probably don't really know he is a servant. He only does what he thinks needs to be done. And so he is about the business of God.
willingness, cheerfulness, being a blessing in the kingdom. Nobody has to keep telling him what he needs to do next. Just coming out of a heart that is in tune with God. A willing servant does things out of the goodness of his heart, and it doesn't matter if anyone sees it or not. That's integrity. Doing right, even when no one else is watching. If they are just duties this morning to us, I trust they won't stay there, but become an outflow of our life. Now, I'm not talking what Andy was talking about this morning. Luke 12:3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed among the housetops. We also have those verses that talk about the that secret thing. Well, we just talked about that in the beginning, where if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear. If there's a secret sin, what Brother Andy was talking about, the Lord will not hear. If there's sin in your life and you're in hiding, we're not talking about that type of secret here this morning. What we're talking about, the Christian life is a secret life. But brothers and sisters, if you are truly and connected with God in that secret life, it will manifest itself. We will not be able to hide it. It's almost a contradictory. When a person is arrested by God, we think of Zacchaeus. When he gets in connection with God, when he gets in that connection, when he gets arrested, he's asking out of that change of heart, he is asking how he can help or give to. It's just natural when God truly does a work in an individual. We want to be involved in the work of the kingdom, and the outflow of that wants to benefit and help people. And the Bible tells us a lot about remembering the poor.
Okay, to us here this morning, I believe these topics speak and teach on the right intent or motive of the heart. Because a principle or something, if it's done wrong, does that discount the thing? We would say no, it doesn't. Just because it's done wrong, that doesn't mean Jesus never said, no, this was done wrong, so just erase that one, don't do it. No, he never did that. But he told us the right way to do it. Jesus didn't say because alms, prayer, and fastings were done wrong. He didn't say, okay, quit doing them. We'll take that one out. But we have to figure out the right way of doing it. God's way. And Jesus gives us some direction here. Okay, so almsgiving. How do we do it? How do we give to the poor without letting your left hand know what your right hand do it practically? We like people to notice us, don't we? We like people to see how good people we are. We don't sound a trumpet. I mean, should have brought a trumpet here this morning. Brother Joe, you could have brought your trumpet. No, and we give and everybody look. See what we're doing? No, we don't do that. We don't even think about that. But how is it? Maybe we tell a brother. We want someone to know, right? We tell of us visiting a poor family and, you know, the needs there, and we took them a box of groceries and, you know, tell somebody that, you know, just tell people. I want people to know, right? We want people to know that we are ministering. I would just say here, a hidden life will manifest itself in life. You know, this really takes a carefulness on our part. That heart, it wants to raise it. That proud heart, it wants to raise itself up in so many different ways, including this one. You know, that sometimes we pass money through some other individual. You know, we won't be able to hide everything. No, it might come out. But brothers and sisters, don't dwell on how good a person you are. There's ways to give without advertising yourself. There's different organizations that you can send in the mail. Yes, somebody's going to know that it came from your address. It might just be that. Unless you don't put your return address or no, there's other ways of doing that too. But there's ways of doing things, helping the poor, that we don't have to put it on Burn Trine Weekly. And, you know what I mean. But not to do it because you're afraid somebody's going to find out, it's probably not right either. Prayer. Go in your closet, spend time with God. Go spend that undisturbed, no distraction, sweet communion with God, unhindered, continually. We want people to know what all we pray for, right? The question comes, what about group meetings? Am I distracted by my brothers and sisters in a prayer meeting? Do I feel like I need to impress them? And I believe this warning is given in a group setting. Don't just pray in a group setting. Get in your closet first. Have that life. Have that life. And by the way, you can zone everyone else out in a group. And actually, when we pray in a group, sometimes a secret life manifests itself. As a man prays, so is he. And sometimes it can be pretty revealing. Speaking for myself. When I'm not in communion with God, that displays itself, even in a prayer meeting. We want to impress someone. Let's impress God. Let's worship God. Furthermore, we can't hide our deep motives or intents of our hearts from God. He knows everything about us. But this is usually the first, most important work that gets neglected in a day. Picture with me, each of us as individuals. Okay, we're all sitting here. Sure, we go to our homes and we live our, separate lives and separate works and all that. But we'll picture us here. And there may be, maybe there's a few of us that have a wire going up to God. Connection, prayer, and that type of life, communion, sweet communion at a regular basis. There's a few of us. There's a wire here and a wire there and a wire here and a wire there. And I don't want to say that we're not all, but just for the picture's sake here. Now, with that thought, picture with me a cable. The Mackinac Bridge has the two main cables that go run on top through are 24 and a half inches in diameter. Made up of 12,800 wires that are little over a 3/16 inch thick. What would happen if there's only a few wires through there? Would it hold the span? Would it hold the bridge? There's a little bit of tension put on it. It wouldn't hold the 16,000 tons, which is capable of bearing if they're all there. It would never work. What about us? It doesn't work with just a few of us. Everyone needs to be engaged. fastings? Are we all downcast and dragging our feet when we fast? How do we show others that we're fasting, or do we just tell them? The early Christians had a weekly, two-day diet of this. Some of you may do this too. I would just say, let this be a weekly diet for us. But let us be careful that it doesn't become just a ritual. In the beginning I said, and I still believe, that it talks about earnestness, and I believe this is in this element too. Let's be purposeful. Bring our whole being into it, to God. James says the effectual fervent prayer of who? Just anyone? The righteous man. Effectual fervent. That speaks of earnestness. I believe as soon as we toot our own horn in any of these, God withholds the blessing. You know, like I said, in a lot of these things, maybe we won't be able to be totally in secret. But let us be careful. Let us heed to that warning. Take heed. Let's be careful. That the me, myself, and I, that spiritual pride that wants to stick its head up, may we not advertise ourselves in this way. The testimony of a man's life is not what he says about himself. It's what others say about him. Right? In closing, I would just like to encourage us to find this secret life in God. And find ways to be secretly doing His work in these three areas. We won't have to tell people how spiritual we are. When we find this secret life, we won't have to tell anyone. We will be that light to the world, and we will be that salt on the earth. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." You want to be perfect? Let's do things God's way. "And though I be rude in speech, and yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." Our lives are not hid. It's kind of talk about this secret thing again. You know, the fact of the matter is, people will find out. But may we not dwell on that. May we not glory in it. May we not glory in those things. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is a light." So this is what Andy was talking about. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God knows our hearts. God sees right in here. And I believe this is talking about the very intents of our hearts. And the motives, why and how we do these things. Let's be careful. "And thy Father, which seeth in secret." Let's leave it to Him. God's blessing to you all.